Good morning, everybody. I'm still Jerry McCracken, an alcoholic, and my part this morning is going to be very brief. This is a memorial service which we're conducting this morning, which is being conducted throughout the world today for our beloved co-founder, Bill W., and I'm going to turn this service over to Virgil W.
Thank you, Jerry. My name is Virgil Warren, and I am a sober alcoholic. Sober by the grace of God. And through the instrument that he chose to grant me this sobriety, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. It has been requested by our General Service Office in New York that all over the world on this day that we conduct not a memorial service for Bill, because we certainly aren't ministers, but to conduct a memorial meeting in honor of the co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. I think an occasion such as this is a time for reflection from whence we came, how we got here, what happened, and in doing so, look at some of the idiosyncrasies that we have thrown into this program of Alcoholics Anonymous and contemplate on what would have happened had Bill and Dr. Bob used these things. Let's suppose when Bill had his spiritual experience in the hospital, the Dr. Silkworth would have said to Bill, "Bill, you're doing nothing but hallucinating. Lay back down and try to get some sleep." And let's suppose when Bill went to Akron, Ohio, and completed his work there on a very disappointing note, that he sat in his hotel room and said, "I wish some alcoholic would call me and ask for help so I could talk to him." Or suppose when he went down into the lobby of the hotel where he was staying and paced back and forth in front of the bar, that he had said, "I wish some alcoholic would come out of that bar and ask me to help him. Because, you know, we can't help an alcoholic unless he asks for it personally." Or suppose when he called and contacted Henrietta Sarbelin, that she said, "Yes, Bill, I know some drunks around town, but they are not worth fooling with." Then let's suppose when Henrietta Sarbelin called Dr. Bob's home and his wife answered, and Henrietta told her what she wanted, and Ms. Smith said, "Well, there's no point in talking to my husband because he's drunk And you know you can't talk to anyone that's drinking. Or maybe Bill said this. Maybe you've heard people say these things. Maybe you have said them. Then let's suppose further that after Bill and Dr. Bob worked together and Dr. Bob stayed sober a while and went off to his doctor's convention and got drunk, that Bill might have said, well, Dr. Bob's just not ready. He doesn't want it. Dr. Bob knows where I am. And when he gets ready for it, he can call me, and I'll come. Suppose Bill said that. And then as we go along, thank to the grace of God that he didn't say this, but he said we need a general service office in New York. That someone said, oh, we don't need that. This is a thing that we carry from one person to another. We don't need that office in New York. And he had listened. And when he got ready to publish our big book, when they said, we don't need that, and he had listened. And when he decided on this general service structure over the country to elect delegates and set up state assemblies from each state, that we said, you're trying to organize AA. We don't need that. And then when we did accept it, and we wanted to send delegates to New York General Service Conference so that we could build a bigger and better program to carry to the suffering alcoholic, so that Bill could have the thoughts and the opinions of a cross-section of the country, that we said, that's foolish. But if he wants somebody to go to New York, let's elect old Joe. He wants to go so bad. We think about these things and wonder where we would be. I think it is a time of reflection to put ourselves in Bill's shoes and Dr. Bob's shoes and thank God for the fact that these thoughts didn't run through their minds, that they didn't give up. They were willing to accept criticism and bring to you and I a program of recovery from this cunning, baffling alcohol, so that you and I could be here this morning at this first Pine Mountain Fellowship enjoying this wonderful sobriety, a God-given sobriety through Bill. I want to read to you now a eulogy to Bill that I have prepared. It is basically the same eulogy that our delegate, Bob Ross, delivered 2 weeks ago at a metro-wide meeting in Atlanta, that Bob so beautifully delivered. I say basically the same because when we talk of Bill, it is basically the same or should be the same. However, these are my words, my thoughts on the same subject that Bob used. When I finish this eulogy, I would like very much for all of us to rise and join hands for a moment of silent meditation to Bill W. and the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, followed by which I have a prayer that I would like to pray for all of us. Three weeks ago today, an announcement in the news media stated William Griffith Wilson, age 75, died late Sunday night, January 24, 1971, at Miami, Florida. The paper went on to say, this man, at his request, was revealed to be the Bill W., co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous in 1935. I like to believe that here is the paradox that lets us know as alcoholics to receive we must give and must die that we may live. William Griffith Wilson had to mortally die that he might be born as our beloved Bill W. and live forever. Not only in the lives of we alcoholics who knew him, but in his place of respect and honor by all humanity for the precious gift of sobriety that he helped so many thousands to find. I like to believe that our Bill, in his conscious contact with the God of his understanding, knew that he was soon to join him. I like to believe this because a few short months ago, he had shared what little strength he had left to appear before 11,000 AAs from all over the world. He shared a brief moment of his life to pass on to them his example of hope through this program. I like to believe that at the moment of his passing, each of those 11,000 who stood, heads bowed, each holding the hand of an AA next to him in a never-ending chain of love, still carried the memory of that moment of prayer for his recovery, should it be God's will. I like to believe that our Bill, ever so weary in body, yet so strong and determined in will and heart that our program go on and on in its strength and growth, quietly reached out his hand to his higher power, and together they walked in the new path to join Dr. Bob. I like to believe that Bill is now sharing a wonderful reward, telling Dr. Bob all about what has happened in the past 21 years since he left. And a wonderful reunion with the thousands of AAs who have gone on before us. And Ebby, Sister Ignatia, Bill Dodson, Dr. Tebow, and the countless AAs now members of the Belt Blessed group across the horizon. What a wonderful meeting they must have, for each have now had the true and lasting spiritual experience. I like to believe and keep ever in mind that Bill was a dedicated man, devotedly trying to help others find a new way of life. He sought no reward. He sought no fame, only the privilege to be of help to others who still suffered. He had abhorred the thought of ever being placed on a pedestal or glorified for what he had done. His only thought was for others. I shall always treasure the privilege of having known Bill personally, to visit his home with he and Lois, and to work with him. During my 10 years in the General Service Conference, it was inspiring to see the dedication, sincerity, and enthusiasm he displayed in each session. This was even more of an inspiration because of the fact we all knew he was a sick man then. I only wish all of you could have had those few moments with Bill as I did. And had you done so, I know you would be as determined as I to keep AA as it is, and as Bill and Bob hoped it would remain forever. I like to believe that although Bill is now co-sponsor of the Blessed Group, he will always slip in for a moment to sit at our little meetings. Listen to a question that puzzles us. We'll answer our question by example, and above all, that his memory shall always keep us firm in our endeavor to carry on the God-given program of AA he was allowed to bring us. What greater tribute to his memory can we pay then? A day at a time, practice the principles of the program he gave us until the time when we too may join him again and tell him what happened since he left. I would like very much now, if we would please stand, join hands and be in the spirit of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, with whom we would walk day by day, we thank Thee for those whose lives have touched ours, leaving their marks of influence upon our hearts, minds, and souls. As debtors to them, may we resolve in our own hearts to so live our lives that those who cross our pathway may likewise be challenged to higher and holier living. Amen.
We'll take a short intermission here for about 10 minutes. Please come back to your seats promptly and we'll start our final meeting.